Okay, so let's see. So hang on just a second. On the line now with us is Joe Persaki. He's at NASS. We talk to him occasionally. He's the what is your title, Joe? Director of
Director of Statistics Division.
Yeah, for the crops.
Like
So
almost all the statistics, but we do, one of them is, what's the crop stuff, yeah.
well, let's talk, Joe, about some of the things that came out in the reports on Wednesday morning of this week. And one of the things I was interested in, because I saw it in the lockup, was that you gave a national average ear population. And then I was thinking about what that meant and how you derived it. And you told me when I wrote you an email and said, what were the actual populations in Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Minnesota, Nebraska, the five top states? You said, well, we don't release those until next month, but you gave me some averages, and there were some interesting things there. What did you find?
Yeah, right, Todd. The thing is, with this whole deal about ear count, right now in August, hello?
I'm still with you.
Was that me or you?
I don't know, in between us.
Okay. So, this year with the ear count, we're looking at a number like in the 27,600 range in there, between 27,500 and 27,700. Well, which is at a U.S. level, or, well, not U.S., it's 10 states. It's a 10 major corn-producing state level. Those 10 states have about 85% of the corn production over the last few years on average. But when we look at that, I mean, that's huge. It's the largest we've ever had.
By like 1,000 years, right?
By 1,000 years. And then if you, we did some work beforehand, I was looking at that. I mean, because that's, people talk about plant population going up. That's true. And then I did like some work, looking at that, and I had some folks dig into it. We were expecting, just saying, okay, if this is a typical year, we would expect, based on current technology trends and what farmers are doing, I expect about 250 or so, ears per acre in that 10 more, 250 more ears per acre this year than last year, just based on typical trends. Okay. When the data came in, we were well over that. And that's like what you're saying, it's in that 1,000 range, close to it. It's like, nine, yeah, right at 1,000, say. So that was huge. Now, when you asked the question, okay, well, what about some specific states? And I said, well, Todd, I can't tell you exactly, because, that's just our policy, not exactly right now. But I can tell you that Illinois and Indiana, in two states that their people had weather concerns about, the ears per acre, the forecasted ears per acre, are very, very close to the last year's numbers, to the final last year's ear count that we published in our January report. Okay, so that's okay. And then that kind of ties in with some weather concerns. All right, now what about in the Western Corn Belt? What about over in Iowa, Minnesota, Nebraska? Boy, in all three of those states, we're talking percentage points, multiple percentage points increases over last year. Okay, well, what's going on there? Well, one, if you go back to the crop progress, though, we got the U.S., or those farmers in those areas, got that crop in pretty early, and there's crop development going on. I mean, there's just a lot of ears per acre coming out, high plant population, and just a lot of ears coming in on those three states.
And so when you do the ear counts, does that do you count the second ear too?
What we would do is, procedure is on, say, corn, we go in, when we lay out that 20-foot plot over two rows, we count number of stalks first, how many stalks are in this 20-foot band. Then our numerators go through and they count ears that they, that you can feel that there's ear formation, okay? On those second ears, if there's ear formation, we're going to count those as well. Now, one thing that we saw and people are concerned about, and this is in the other trade publications you've heard, that this crop is behind. Well, it's true. The maturity, when we look at what's called maturity, it's on par with what we had last year about this time, which is behind, well behind normal. So right now, when we're, even though we're saying we have this record ear count, we're still projecting some of that, because there's some of those that we were looking at with, there were ear shoots at this time, just time. But so we forecasted, up to where we are at this 27, say 27.6 or someplace in that neighborhood.
Yeah, and the ear weight, you have, which I suppose you can't really derive that. You just have to suggest that. And it was the second largest on record.
Right. You got to remember, when we do this first forecast for corn, we have it's basically a hierarchical model, meaning, okay, what information is available. If we have real grain weight available, we'll use it. Well, this crop is so far behind. There's not much real grain weight, actual field weight in this. So what we're looking at is pretty close to a weighted 5-year average in there as well.
Yeah, so if we go through the numbers last year, just so people have an idea, you say that Illinois and Indiana are pretty much the same as they were last year, virtually the same. So last year, ear population, which is different than plant population, but ear population was 28,350 in Illinois, 27,770, 27,700, that is, in Indiana.
Right.
Iowa last year was at 28,6, and they're up substantially, I assume, this year.
Yep, and Minnesota's even higher.
And Minnesota last year was at 29,400 on their ear count, and they're up. And Nebraska at 23,900. Last year is up too. So this, I would think, would account for a large part of that 159.5 bushel average yield you've got for the nation.
When we briefed the secretary, and I don't know if you've had a chance to see this, we have that plot.
Yeah, I
did. The United States that shows the yields versus last season's yield. You can see Illinois, we're down like 5 bushels. Indiana's no change. Wisconsin, I believe, was no change. But
right, the state yield maps.
Was Western states. Like Iowa's up, double digits over last year.
14 bushels.
Yeah. And so, when people say, well, what about Iowa? Well, Iowa's big. They've got about 20% of the crop just by themselves. And so if they're up 14 bushels by themselves, think about that, 20%, by themselves. If they're 20% of the nation, 20% of 14, that's a fifth of it. So that's just 3 bushels lifting the U.S. by themselves.
Wow.
Yeah.
And not be done yet.
Pardon? Well, I don't know, right? I mean, it's all this thing, I guess, are you guys forecasting a little bit of rain this weekend?
Very little. And I did get a call this morning from a listener and a farmer. I think he probably also has planes that he's using on fungicide. I didn't quite get that, but he's been across a good portion of the northern part of the state and was worried that it was dry, very dry there, and that we hadn't really talked about it. And we started to talk about it, at least I heard about it a bit this week, but it's been drier than maybe you might imagine. And I don't know. I guess the experience that you've seen and we've seen in the stats suggests that even in the dry weather, that in those dry weather conditions, that the hybrids continue to yield. We saw that 2 years ago, wasn't it? I think
in
Illinois.
Yeah, had a pretty tough time a couple of years ago, right? Parts of Iowa, when I was out there, 1 year was the eastern part of the state and the other year was the western part of the state. Is there such thing as a drop tolerant hybrid? I don't think so, but just in general, you can just use the thing. I tell people, think about yourself. A human being. If you're pretty healthy, you don't really catch the flu that much or a cold. And I think with these new hybrids, they're rootworm resistant, corn borer resistant. They're just a tougher plant, and they're not. They have a good root structure. They have a good it's at that capillary structure, where they're pulling moisture through. And when the weather gets tough, they're just able to hang on till that next rain comes. That's what I think is what's going on there.
Right. Well, let's close out with one final thing and discuss the differences between the August and the September reports. What kinds of things will you be able to get in September, do you think, this year that you haven't, that aren't in the August report generally?
Right.
And what will you be short in September because of the lateness of the crop? And you probably ought to have a good handle on that based on last year, I would think.
Yeah, right. And so when we go through this, we're just talking corn again. When we go through again, every time we're in the field, we count ears. But first off, we count stalks every time. Then we count ears because if there's, say you have an animal or something, a varmint or whatever, cuts off a corn plant. You had deer in there. I mean, we're trying to measure that if you lose a whole stalk or whatever, because we're trying to measure that because the stalks give us the plant population per acre. And then in September versus August, we'll have a much better handle on ears per acre. You know, because based on as the crop develops, we'll get a better handle.
So we'll see both plant population and ear population in September.
Right.
Okay.
And so you'll see that. And basically, I can argue that the ear count will be a lot stronger than what it was in August. And then we'll start getting, depends where you are. If the crop starts maturing, some places like southern Missouri or someplace like that, we'll start getting, I use the word real grain weight, but we'll actually harvest some ears if they're beyond a certain stage. And if they're not, we also measure what we call kernel row length. We'll take and we'll measure, how long the kernel length is on these ears, because that's a fairly good predictor of weight. We have models that we've done that over years, over time. And people say, well, what if the crop's behind or not? We have to remember when we do this, we treat each sample individually. If it's in this maturity category, what are the important counts we take from when when we'll use? So if the crop is almost mature, the corn is almost mature, we'll actually harvest ears, and that will give us the best measure of weight. Okay, if the crop isn't ready to pull ears, then what's next best? It's the kernel row length. Yeah. And so in September, as the crop matures, we get a better and better measure of what's going on.
If you could, and I said that was the last question, but of course I've always got another question. On ear weight, this was the second largest on record.
Yes.
Why did you do that? What was prompted USDA to put that big an ear weight on? And I was trying to come up with it. It was 3-something.
What we do is, our standard procedures when we go through is when we come out of the blocks, pretty much our best guess, and we've looked at this over time, our best guess or best estimate of ear weight, not, guess is not maybe a good word, but estimate is a better word, or best estimate of ear weight comes from looking at the previous 5 years, okay? What that has in there as well, we've got 2004 lurking around in there.
Correct, and it's way high.
Was the largest, highest ear weight we've ever had.
It's looking around in there. Something above 3.35.
Yep, it was big. Yep, exactly. And then I've also had our methods group that does our tabulation stuff. I had them start looking at like a 7-year Olympic average. Take the high, so you lose that 0.4 number, and then there's a low one that comes out. It's really interesting because if you take away 0.4, if you remember that one graphic I showed you,
I'm looking at it.
If you notice this 0.9 ear weight, it's pretty much in line with 0.8 and 0.7.
Yeah, if you were to put it on a trend, right?
Yeah.
Just a higher trend. So 0.5, I think from here 0.5 appears to be probably the third highest weight behind 0.9.
Yeah.
So it'd be 0.4, 0.9, 0.5, and then 0.8, 0.6,
right.
And 0.6, and 0.7.
And the interesting thing is 0.4 was our record yield, followed by 0.8 was our second largest. This is national. And then, I told someone recently, I said, I can make a wager today that whatever, less barring things, just looking at things, this will be one of our top 6 yields ever. And why? Well, our top 5 have been the last 5 years. I'm not going out on a limb here.
Right now it's number 2.
The last 5 years.
Yeah, right now it's number 2. Actually, it's kind of fun because right now it's number 2 in 2 categories. So you throw out 0.4 in average bushels per acre. Well, you follow 0.4 in average bushels per acre, and you follow 0.7 in total crop production.
Exactly, right. In 0.7, we just had monster acres.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's a big crop, and it'll be interesting to follow, and I know you have a tough job there. Thanks for taking the time to talk with me today,
sure, Todd,
Joe.
And then, for all your listeners out there that, that are actually doing the sweating out there in those fields when they're putting a crop in, I just thank them from the bottom of my heart that they take the time to talk to our enumerators when they are out in the field. And then if they get a questionnaire in the mail. They take the time to fill it out, or if someone calls them up, they take the time to answer it, because they give us the best information. I'll leave you with a parting note, is that both the farmer reported yield, what the farmers told us, and what we got an objective yield for those states, it was the highest we've ever seen in August. So the farmers themselves are also seeing a big crop out there, or expecting a big crop.
Joe, thanks much.
Hey, thanks, Todd.
Joe Persaki, he's the director of stats at the National Agricultural Statistics Service in Washington, D.C. I'm Todd Gleason. Thank you, Joe.
Thanks, Todd.
All right, you have a good day.
Okay, buddy. Bye-bye.
Yep, bye-bye.